はい、今日はまあ、許しについて話したいと思います。最近ね、教会の状態を考えて、ちょっと弱っているなと思ってますまあ、スティーブもそのように考えている。やっぱりなんか熱心な時があるけど、それからもう何もしてないなと、神様はあまりその熱心に求めなくなります。祈りが、まあ、冷たくなります。そういう時期があります。まあ、みんなそういう時期がありますけど、それから復活してまた燃えているような信仰に戻る必要があります。まあ、リバイブルは自分の心から始まるものですので、リバイブルを常に求めなければなりません。しかし、リバイブルを妨げているものがあります。そしていろいろなもの、妨げているものがありますけど、その一つはまあ、許しということので、今日はその、まあ、基本的なことですけど、その許しについて話したいと思います。 OK、well, just recently we've been thinking about things, and you know, I sometimes, as I was talking with Stephen this morning, and he mentioned, and I think it's true that, you know, we seem to be in a rut at the moment, and as a fellowship, we're not moving, we're not doing much, we're kind of just living day to day. But you know, there are times when we're zealous and we're praying and we're preaching and we're serving and ministering. And then there are other times when we're just kind of living and not doing much, and our prayers are shallow, and our testimony is shallow, and you know, perhaps we're not preparing ourselves to come to fellowship or to come to the Lord. And we need to get back to our zeal. The zeal of God has consumed me, is what the Bible says. And so it's normal in a Christian life to have these periods, but we need to break out of it and come back. So the Lord wants us to have a burning faith filled with the Holy Spirit, and the sign of that is fire, not water. So let's think of that. But also, there are things which hinder revival, and revival is something that begins in our heart, of course, not in the greater church. It has to begin in you before it begins around you, right? Just like a little fire begins with the small spark. But there are things which stop revival, and one of them is forgiveness. Just this week, I've been thinking about this topic quite a lot, and I thought it's only a simple thing. It's a fundamental thing, but it is certainly a thing that does hinder a work of God, is when people don't deal with forgiveness. So I'd just like to talk about that tonight. はい、そして許しについて考えたいと思います。まず、まあ、まとめると、許しの正しい方法を伝えます。それから、許しの、間違った土台、土台となってない土台を4つ出します。それに頼ってはなりません。しかし、正しい岩である硬い土台に立ちましょう。その本当の許しを実行しましょうということ。じゃあ最初 の, 正しい許しの正しい基礎を考えたいと思います。最初は、創世記50章20節を一緒に読んでください。創世記50章20節。 OK、so what we're going to do now is look at what is the real basis for forgiveness. Forgiveness is a very important thing, and it's something that we need to base on something solid. It can't be based on a weak foundation, otherwise it won't work. We can't trust in it. I'm going to first present what is a strong foundation for forgiveness, and then I'm going to expose four flawed foundations, ways of trying to forgive that doesn't work. So first of all, let's turn to Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. Okay, 創世記50章20節。あなた方は私に悪を図りましたが、 神はそれを良いことのために、計らいとなさいました。それは今日のようにして多くの人々が生かしておくためでした。はい、まあこれはヨセフは兄弟たちに話していた。父ヤコブは亡くなりました。そして兄弟たちは恐れて、いやもしかしたら今父が亡くなったからヨセフは私たちを今こそ復讐しようとするのか恐れて、もう一度ヨセフに許しを求めました。しかしヨセフはあらかじめもう一度彼らにいいですいいです大丈夫です、確かにあなた方は私に悪を図りました、確かに、だけど神様はそれを、良いことのために、計らいとなさいましたということ、それは許しの、丈夫な土台となります。もうちょっと深く、読むと45章の1節から8節、45章、1から8、まあ、それは長内さん読んでもらえますか。お願いします、
はいはい、ヨセフはそばに立っているすべての人の前で自分を制することができなくなって、皆を私のところから出しなさいと叫んだ。ヨセフは兄弟たちに自分のことを明かしたとき、彼のそばに立っている者は誰もいなかった。しかし、ヨセフが声を上げて泣いたので、エジプト人はそれを聞き、ファロの家の者もそれを聞いた。ヨセフは兄弟たちに言った。私はヨセフです。父上はお元気ですか？兄弟たちはヨセフを前にして驚きのあまり答えることができなかった。ヨセフは兄弟たちに言った。どうか私に近寄ってください。彼らが近寄るとヨセフは言った。私はあなた方がエジプトに言った弟のヨセフです。今私をここに言ったことで心を痛めたり怒ったりしてはなりません。神は命を救うためにあなた方より先に私を使わせてくださったのです。この2年の間、国中に飢饉があったが、まだあと5年は耕すことも借り入れることもないでしょう。それで神は私をあなた方より先にお使わしになりました。それはあなた方のために残りのものをこの地に残し、また大いなる救いによってあなた方を生きながらいらせるためだったのです。だから今私をここに使わしたのはあなた方ではなく、実に神なのです。神は私をパロには父とし、その前科の主とし、またエジプト全土の統治者としてされたのです。
OK。ありがとうございます。OK, so Genesis chapter 50 verse 20. This is the correct foundation for forgiveness. Joseph talking to his brothers after, you know, their father Jacob had died, and they begin to get a bit worried, or what if now Joseph...takes revenge on us now that dad's gone. But he says to them this, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. It's true, you intended to harm me. He doesn't deny that, but he also acknowledges that God intended it. That means planned it for good. And the purpose was the saving of life. Just to read a little bit further, let's go back to chapter 45.And we'll read verses 1-8, where he explains a little bit more. But this is when he first forgives his brothers. So we'll just pick it up there in chapter 45, verse 1. Then Joseph could not control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried, "Have everyone go out from me." So there was no man with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers.He wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard of it. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I'm Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Please, come closer to me." And they came closer. And he said, "I'm your brother, Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. Now, do not be grieved or angry with yourselves, because you sold me here, for God sent me back.So God sent me before you to preserve life. For famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth and to keep you alive by a great deliverance. Now therefore, it wasn't you who sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his household and a ruler over all the land of Egypt. Okay. そしてあのここでヨセフは完全に兄弟を許しました。あなたは人をなかなか許せなかった時にヨセフを考えてみてください。彼の兄弟たちは最初に彼を殺そうとしてた。まずあの彼を嫌っていた。そして彼を殺そうとしてた。でそれよりも殺した方が良かったのに、彼らはいや、あの利益を儲けよう、あの彼を奴隷として売ろうじゃないかと言いました。そして誰も知らなかったエジプトの国に、誰も知らないようなところにあの売ってしまいました。そしてヨセフは奴隷としてもう本当にあの1日でもあの、生き残ることは あるか分からなかった状態でした。あの本当にあの奴隷と同じようにいつでも殺されることはありえました。本当にもう兄弟たちはひどかったね。そんなひどいことにされたことありますか？誰かはがあなたを殺そうとしてたけど、それからもっとひどくあなたをじゃあ殺してももったいないからお金を儲けようかと言われたことあるでしょう。まあヨセフはずっとね、あの兄弟たち最後にそんな扱いをあの考えていて、しかしその兄弟たちにあの許すことができました。もうその許しの力が欲しいと僕個人的にもあの思います。じゃあどうやって兄弟たちを許すことができました？まずあの彼は、ね、彼はものすごく大事なこと、彼らの悪、そして彼らの動機は完全に悪いことを認めました。完全に悪いことを認めました。全然正当化しなかった。全然彼ら あの目から 見ようとしなかった。もうどう見てもあの申し訳がない、あの言い訳がない。全然言い訳はありません。彼らのやろうとしたことはダメでした。そしてあの次に彼はいや私は神のところにあるかと言いました。それは50章の、多分私たちは読まなかったかもしれない、あのすいません、あの19節だった。ヨセフは彼らに言った。恐れることはありません。どうして私が神の代わりでしょうか。神の代わりでしょうか。ヨセフは神ではない、裁き主ではない。僕もそうです。あなたもそうではない、ね、あの私たちは他の人を裁きにあの、裁く立場に立ってないです。ヨセフは自分は他の人を裁くことができないことも認めました。他の人の堕落さ、悪を認めたし、自分の裁きにのにあのふさわしくない立場をも認めました。そして次にあのもう大事なことはあの45章の8節です。45章の8節。だから今私はここに使わしたのはあなた方ではなく実に神なのです。神は私の王ペロの父とし、そしてあのその結局あの最終的に計らったことは神様の計らいが立ちました。彼らはあの兄弟はジョセフに悪いことを計らいしましたけど、計らおうとしましたけど、結局神様の計画は立ちました。そしてそれは良いことです。良いことです。それはあの神様の計画によってこんなことが起こったということです。それをあなたは言えますか？私たちは認めなければなりません。それは神様にひどいことをしようとしているのか、まあどうでしょう。神様はヨセフを裏切るように許しました。あのまあ 殺されそうな状態で許しました。そして奴隷としてエジプトに使わされたことを許しました。それは全部神様の計画にありました。神様はね、イスラエルが本当にいい動機で忠実に神様に従っていたならそんな方法を選べなかったでしょう。だけど実情、本当の状態ではその道しかなかったようです。ので神様はその道をうまく用いました。しかしね、ヨセフは全てのエジプトの上に治めているときにそれはまあまあ言いやすい。いや今見てください、誰よりも強い立場にいますよ。それはだからまあこんなことになりましたのは素晴らしい神様のご計画に違いないとは言えました。しかし、3年、それより3年前だとどうでしょう。まだ刑務所に座っている時にそんなことは言えたでしょうか。でも実はその時でもそうだった。奴隷に働いている時でもそうだった。レイプしようと言われた時にもそうだった。刑務所に入れられた時でもそうだった。忘れられた時にもずっと牢に忘れられた時でもそうだった。神様の計画は行われている。だけど最後ではヨセフはそれを あなるほどと言いました。3年前だったら多分なるほどと言わなかった。しかしまあ忍耐で神様に任せたことがありました。私たちはどのようにして人を許すことができるでしょう。まず相手の悪を明らかに認める必要があります。絶対にその言い訳とかを認めません。それは悪かったです。次に私は神様の立場ではないので他の人を裁くことはできない。だから何か裁きが来るならそれは神様の手から下らなければならない。私の手からは来ません。私は愛するように命じられているだけです。そして神様の計画はどうしても立ちます。まあ、特にローマ8章ではクリスチャンに対してこの素晴らしい約束があります。本当に神様に従っているクリスチャンだけですけど、でも私たちはそうだったらこの約束は私たちにも有効です。みんな知っていると思いますけど、その、約束はローマ8章28節、神を愛する人々、ね、神を愛する人々、皆さんそうですね、すなわち神のご計画に従って召された人々のために、それはクリスチャンです。神がすべてのことを働かせて益としてくださることを私は知っています。パウロはそれを知っています。私たちはそれを知っています。未信者にはそうではない。彼らは自分の罪で亡くなる、呪いが実行します。しかしクリスチャンには、神様を愛する人には、神のご計画に従って召されている人々のためには、神様が全てのこと、いいことでも悪いことでも、運がいいことでも運が悪そうなことでも働かせて益としてくださることを私たちは知っています。はい。だからまああなたはまだその最後を見てないからわからないかもしれない。まあそれだと思います。それは当然、最後では全てわかる。今はよくわからない。なんでこんな苦しいことを取らなければならなかった。大体もう自分の罪は何かと言うでしょう。でもヨセフの場合は自分の罪関係ない、関係ない。神様のもう何よりも素晴らしい計画のためにそういうことがありました。で最後では全ては益として働かされました。まあ今朝はスティーブとの祈り会の後でちょっといろいろ話してて、そして まあ、自分たちが通ってた苦しい経験、特に、まあ、2年前の経験、何のためなのか、本当にそれは、まあ、例えば3年前の奉仕は本当に導かれたかよく考えなければならない。でも、いや、多分導かれたんじゃないかと思います。こんなひどいことがあっても導かれたか。そうです。 なぜかというと、まあ、多分一つの理由は人の、ね、特徴、人間の特徴、まあ、神言みたいな人の心をよく知ることによって、まあ、牧師としてはその経験が必要じゃないかということ。経験じゃないと分からない。だから牧師はまずそういう苦しいことを取らなければならない。まあ、例えばダビデとサウルの場合は、なんでダビデはそんなに長い時代にサウルに悪く扱われた？それはダビデはそのような王にならないためでした。だからもしそれがなかったら、ダビデ自分もそのようなサウルみたいな性格を持ってたかもしれない。しかし前のサウルのことを見て、もう絶対その道に歩めないと分かっていた。それはイスラエルを救うために、まあ、貴重な経験だというかもしれない。私たちにもそうです。まあ、霊の識別をもっとできるようにその経験が与えられたかもしれない。分からない、まだ最後分かってないから、まあ考えてるだけですけど、でもこの原則を信じています。だから許すことは、まあ、とにかく私たちに悪いことがあっても、それは別にその人がやったよりも神様はご計画で、それが必要だと思われたな、なら、まあ、いいです。受け入れます。だから許すときに、なんでその人は私にこんなことをしたのかじゃなくて、これを通して神様は私に何の益を働かせてくださるのかな、ということを聞きましょう。絶対にそうです。Okay, so the first thing that we'll look at here is this. There's a right foundation to forgiveness, and there is a wrong foundation. There's actually four wrong foundations that I have thought of. But there's one right one. And the right foundation is Joseph. Look at Joseph, and you think, has anyone ever done to you what Joseph's brothers did to him? First, they hated him. Well, maybe someone hated you. But then, they tried to kill him. Now, I've never had anyone try to kill me, I don't think. Not that I can remember. Some people may have. But then, even worse than that probably is, they sold him as a slave. They thought, rather than kill him, let's just make money out of him. You know? Wow, you know, they were happy to kill him, but what would be the point? Why not make money? You know, all right, he didn't have to die, but it's even, for their sake, it's even worse, right? They used him, they would kill him, and then they decided to sell him as a slave and make money. I don't think any of us have had that bad treatment. Maybe you have, but I haven't. Nevertheless, it was terrible, but Joseph was able to forgive his brothers. Now, we are able, therefore, to forgive people, and we need to forgive people. Every single one of us have people that we need to forgive. And if you don't today, you probably will next week, right? Or sometime in the near future. So we need to learn how to do it and why we have to do it. Well, the first thing is this. We read it in Genesis chapter 50, and that is, Joseph says, yes, it was evil. You planned evil against me, right? He said in verse 5 of 45, you don't be angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life, right? And in verse 8, now therefore it wasn't you who sent me here, but God, and he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house. In verse 50, in chapter 50, verse 19, right, he says, when they come to him, he said, don't worry, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Am I in God's place? He recognizes that he's in no position to judge them, right? He's not God. Now, he may be right, They may be wrong, but he's not in the position to judge. God is. All judgment belongs to God. And whether it comes or not, it's going to come from God. And thirdly, in verse 20, he says, as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result. Now, it's easy, right, for Joseph to acknowledge that when he's king of the most powerful country in the world. It's easy to see it, you know, well, look at me now, you know, I've controlled all the food in all the, you know, the richest country in the world, second only to Pharaoh. It's easy in his position to look and see how God has done it. But what about 3 years before? Then he was in a prison. Then he'd been accused of rape. Then he had been forgotten by people. Then he'd been sold. Then he'd been abused. Then he would, how could he have possibly said, oh, isn't it wonderful what God's doing? And yet, it was the same thing, you know? Right? If I was walking to Lalaport, if I haven't got to the corner yet where I can see Lalaport, or and then I walk a few more steps and I can see Lalaport, is there any real difference in me walking down that road? I'm still on the same road. I'm still on the way there. I just haven't turned that corner yet. In reality, that's what this is like. There will come a time when you will understand what this was all about. There will come a time when you'll see why it wasn't really them that did it, it was God who allowed it to happen. There will come that time. But until that time comes, you won't know. But you have to believe that that's the way God has allowed things to work out. He says, it wasn't you that sent me here. It wasn't you that sinned against me. It wasn't you that did this horrible thing to me. And he doesn't deny that it was horrible. He doesn't pretend that it didn't happen. He doesn't try to lessen the pain of it in any way at all. He just says, it wasn't you. It was God who allowed it to happen because he had a great purpose. He doesn't even give them the benefit of having their plan come to pass. He gives God the credit of having his plan come to pass. And that's the way that we need to forgive people. First, we acknowledge that the evil is evil. We don't try to justify it. Secondly, we acknowledge that we're in no position to judge. And thirdly, we acknowledge that it was not their plan, but it was God's. Now again, you may not be yet at a place where you can see the benefit. Now Romans chapter 8, right? Let's just go back to Romans 8 because this is the great New Testament scripture which kind of makes sense of all this in that Paul explains. And it's important that we read this a lot, especially when we're struggling with forgiveness or you know, we think we're having bad luck or something like that. In verse 28, Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things, that means good things, bad things, lucky things, unfortunate things, hard things, easy things, everything, all things, to work together for good. To who? To everybody? No, not to the unbeliever. Not to those who are not following God. They all die in their sin and be cursed by their sin. But to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. Do you love God? Are you called according to his purpose? Yes. So therefore, whatever happens, you have to acknowledge that God has allowed this and he's working it for good. Now, you haven't experienced as much as what Joseph did, I'm sure. And yet, Joseph needed to acknowledge this. He needed to say, forget about my brothers. What they did, who cares? It's not even relevant. It was God who allowed it to happen because he's got a wonderful purpose, and that purpose was saving life. And Joseph could see that. But until that day he got out of prison, he couldn't see it. But I'm sure that Joseph didn't become bitter in his heart. And that's the example for us. Now, it's funny, this morning I was talking to Steve after the prayer meeting, and we were talking about this kind of thing, you know, some difficult experiences that we've been through, each of us. And I look back, say, 3 or 4 years ago, and I think, you know, what I was doing then, was it really what God was calling me to, you know? Because it kind of all stopped one day. And I thought, was that just all me? And at the end of it, we thought, no, I don't think it was. I think it was God who was calling us. I think God was leading us into all that. But why would he lead us into all that? Well, it says he's calling us according to his purpose, and he works all things together for good. And the conclusion was, maybe, because we don't see the end yet, but maybe it's to teach us discernment. Maybe it's to teach us the character of man. Maybe it's to give us a lesson that we could never have learned in any other way. Right? Maybe that's the way. Now, it's true, with Joseph, if all of his brothers had have been good Israelites and following God, I'm sure it wouldn't have happened that way. He would have done it an easier way. But they weren't. And God's dealing with sinners like me. And so that's just the way things work out. So maybe it was to teach us about character. Maybe it was because God wants us to not walk a particular path that we've seen the end of it is destruction. Look at David and Saul. Saul was always a bad example that David had to live under for a long time. But in the end, David didn't become that kind of a king. And that was the purpose of it, to stop David from becoming like Saul. And so maybe the purpose of me suffering under somebody is so that I don't become like that person, right? There's always a good reason. And if that's the way God's chosen to do it, praise God. I'm not going to stand against it. We just have to accept it and believe and praise God that he has a good plan, and he is working that plan through not only the nice things, but also through the hard things. Okay, so you need to do the same. Accept the evil, acknowledge that you're not in a position to judge because you don't know all things, and acknowledge that the end of it is God's plan rather than the other person. So now I want to just look at the four false approaches to forgiveness, right? And this is the way most people try to forgive, but it doesn't work. And I'll explain why. Okay. そして、まあ、許し、自分が相手の悪を完全に認める必要があります。それがないとダメです。そして、自分が他の人を裁く立場に立ってないことを認めなければならない。私たちはどれだけ正しくても裁くことはできない。それは神様のものです。そして最後にまあとにかく神様の計画が立ちますということで、その土台に立って私たちは何でも許すことができます。なぜなら最後は神様の計画によって全てが良いこととして働かされるから。じゃあ今から4つの誤った土台を照らします。これはまあ、ほとんどの人は許すことによって、許そうときに、これに立とうとしてますけど、これは崩れてしまうので、頼ることができない。じゃあ、最初、こういうこと。まあ、大変なことが私にあった。で、誰かが、まあ、もう、忘れてください。もう、前のことを前に、前に向かって、先に向かって前のことは忘れてください。まあ、ちょっとわからないけど。もうとにかく大丈夫。もう忘れて。ないように考えてください。それはダメです。それは全然慰めになりません。なぜなら、大変なことがあった。罪が起こされた。誰かが誰かを、怪我した。傷をつけました。それはもう本当のことです。イエス様は何のために亡くなった？本当にこの大変な罪のためにイエス様は私たちのために亡くならなければならなかった。もしそれはもうどうでもいい、大丈夫、もう忘れてというような軽いことなら、もう天万物の創造主は死ぬ必要はなかったでしょう。イエス様が受けた、経験した苦しみと痛みは本当のこと。そしてあなたの苦しみと痛みは本当。だからそれはもう軽く、もう大丈夫大丈夫、もう忘れてください。子供がちょっとこけて怪我したみたいに、そうではない。それは慰めになりません。だからそのようなアプローチは自分に対しても他の人に対してもとってはなりません。本当に罪がありました。その悪を認める必要があります。全然まあ大丈夫、忘れてくださいということはダメです。 イエス様はその罪のために亡くなる必要があるほど、その深刻的に対処しました。次、2番目、これは頼れない許しの土台。相手の立場からちょっと見てやってくださいということ、よく言うでしょう。まあ僕もそれ誰かに言ったことがあると思います。何回もそして言われたこともあると思います。まあちょっと他の人の立場から見たら彼の動機はよくわかるでしょう。まあ実は彼はよくあると思いますね。特にまあちょっと喧嘩の時にもう両方は悪い時もある、もちろんそうです。だけどそうでもないかもしれない。完全にそうではないかもしれないので、これは弱い土台です。だからもう使ってはなりません。他の人の立場から他の人をまあそんなに悪くなかったでしょう。その人は例えば当然のことをしましたよとか、そうではなくて本当のことを認めなければならない。まあ例えばヨセフの場合考えてみてください。兄弟たち、あなたは私を殺そうとしてたけど、でもね、僕は本当にひどかったでしょう。そんな夢ばっかり誇って、いろいろさせたよ、ごめん、僕もごめんねと言うないでしょう。ヨセフはもう全然悪いことしなかったのに殺されそうだった。で、誰かが苦しんでいる時に、その人も、まあ、他の人も、ちょっと理由はあったでしょうとか、もうそういうことに慰めることになりません。他の人の動機も知らんし、その人はこう考えていたと言っても、意味にはない。そしてこれは許しの土台になれない。まあ本当のこと、たまにはそうですね、たまにはどっちも悪い時もあるけど、でもだから許すじゃない、だから許すじゃない、前の本当の土台のために許します。相手は悪かった、そうです。しかし僕は裁くことができない。神様はそれでも自分のために計画したみたい。もうよかったね。神様はそれでも私のために、良いことのために働いてくださる。だから、はい、その人はただ神様の計画のある役をやってただけ。ということ。彼は、でもね、他の人のを正当化しようとすることはダメです。ルカ23章、34節。イエス様は十字架から何を言いましたでしょう。ルカ23章34節、23、34、はい。その時イエスはこう言われた。父よ、彼らを許してください。彼らは自分が一番いいことをやっていると思っているから。そうじゃないね。何を言った。父よ、彼らを許してください。彼らは何をしているかわからない。自分がわからない。何をしているのか自分でわからないのです。だからもう彼らはもう完全にダメです。完全に目が見えない。完全に希望がない。完全に自分いい動機を持ってない。ダメです。だから彼らを許してください。ということ。ね。はい。だから私たちは許そうとしているときに、そういう土台に立つことができない。はい。じゃあちょっと英語でまとめます。Okay, so let's go through the first two examples which don't work. Okay, when you're forgiving someone, you've got to do it in the right way, and that will work. But if you don't do it in the right way, it's not going to work. Usually the way that the world tries to forgive people, or especially the way that the world tries to persuade other people to forgive, is a very weak foundation. And although there may be some reason in it, it doesn't work. The first one is, just get over it. Just pretend that it didn't happen. Just get on with life. It's only you that's getting hurt if you keep thinking about it. How many times do you hear that, right? And it's true, in a sense, right? But it doesn't help you forgive when something terrible has happened. You can't just forget it, right? What if someone divorced me? My wife, someone. What if my wife divorced me? You can't just pretend that it didn't happen, right? I heard the other day of a woman, and, you know, she was in a church, and she was talking to this guy, and then later the guy explained that woman's testimony, and her husband and children were standing at a bus stop, and a guy just come by in a car and bang, 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 shot them all. That was in New York somewhere, you know, many years ago. How could you pretend that that didn't happen? How could you just, forget it, just put it behind you and get on with life? Your husband and your three kids just got shot, and one of them was shot so bad his head actually fell off, right? And these were Christians, so it's most likely, I'm sure, that, you know, they weren't gangsters. So, you know, I don't know the whole background, but these were Christians. The mother was certainly a Christian when it happened, so I'm sure that the family was too. You can't forget that something terrible has happened. It doesn't work, right? Now, look, all right, if you'd lost your wallet or something and whatever, you know, I'll burn the toast. All right, forget it. Who cares? You know, someone spilt my drink. Who cares? You can get over that. But when it comes to serious things, you can't... This is not a basis for forgiveness. It's just pretending that it didn't happen. If that's the case, why did Jesus have to die? Jesus didn't die for nothing. He died for the most horrible sin, the most horrible thing that we can imagine. Man absolutely rebelling against God and hating God and hating the people around him. That's not to be taken lightly. Jesus didn't, and all sin is basically stemming from that horror. That's something that was very serious. Jesus' pain and Jesus' torment was very real. He suffered excruciatingly, not only physically, but also mentally and psychologically in the cross. And if you just say that it was nothing, well then why did Jesus have to go through that? Jesus' pain was real, and so is yours. It's the curse of sin. Don't take it lightly. It did happen. It was horrible. And just pretending is not a basis for forgiveness. The second thing is this. People will say, and we've all said it, I've said it, other people have said it to me. Well, just try to see it from the other person's perspective, would you? Just understand it from their way, you know. And look, this is true, you know, of course. You know, if you have a fight with your husband or wife, I'm sure that 90% of the time, there's probably blame on both sides, right? That's just reality. Or anyone, you know, especially in a car, you know. Well, you were going too fast. Yeah, but you didn't look. All right, well, it's true. You were going too fast and you didn't look. Well, let's look at it from my perspective, you know. Here I am just driving along the road and some guy just jumps out in front of me and I kill him because he just jumped in front of my car. And the other person will say, but look, he was just a kid, you know. You should have been paying attention and seen. All right, it's true that on both sides there might be some, you know, justification. But again, it might not be, you know. It might not be. It might be, like, what if you got some drugged guy come in and do an armed robbery and you happen to get shot and wounded or paralyzed? You can't, there's no blame on your side. You were just standing there and this happened. So it might work sometimes, this argument, but it's not a basis for forgiveness. You don't forgive because the other person might have had a good reason to do it. You don't forgive for that, right? It's not a basis for forgiveness. It doesn't work. It doesn't bring comfort to the person who is suffering. And you don't even know the other person's motive. So how can you really say, look at it from their perspective? You don't know their heart. You don't know what they were thinking. Even if it were true, you can't use this as a basis for forgiveness. Don't try to forgive people by saying, well, they might have had a good reason. Is that what David said when Saul came to kill him in his bed? Oh, yeah, but you know, I was being... Imagine what I was being like to Saul getting in his way. Is that what David said? You know? Imagine Joseph. Oh, yeah, you know, you guys tried to kill me, but I must have been a real annoying little brother. Is that what he said? Of course not. Of course he didn't say that, because he wasn't. He only just told them the vision that God had given him. And you would think, as the great-grandchildren of Abraham, and the grandchildren of Isaac, and the children of Jacob, to whom all these wonderful promises had been made, that they would have been expecting God to be working in their lives. Right? And yet, they treated him like that. There was no fault in Joseph. He couldn't say, well, you know, look at it from my brother's perspective. You know, he wants a little, you know, dweeb hanging around him anyway, telling the father what's going, every time we steal one of his sheep, you know, going and dobbing on us. No, it doesn't work. The Bible says in Luke chapter 23, verse 34, when Jesus was on the cross, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. Not because they think they're doing the right thing, but because they don't have a clue. They don't know what they're doing. God, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. Not forgive them because they grew up that way and they were just taught that way and it's not their fault. Forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. They're so lost. They're so blind. They're so hopeless that they haven't got a clue. He doesn't deny and try to justify them. He just says, forgive them anyway. All right? You don't forgive someone because there's good in the other person. You forgive somebody because God allowed it for his purpose, and they're just simply playing the role in God's way of doing it. Okay? All right. Let's go on now to number 3 and 4. じゃあ、3番と4番を話します。あの、3番は、これも間違った土台。まあ、あなたは罪人でしょ。私は罪人でしょ。あの、ということです。まあ、みんな罪を犯すもん。ね。あ、そうですか。彼はこんなことをしたんですか。彼女はあなたにそんなひどいことをした。まあ、でもあなたは罪人でしょ。彼女も罪人でしょ。だから、まあ、どうでもしょうがないということ。まあ、よく言われる。で、実際、もうひどい場合も聞いたことあります。なんか昔に、あの、たまに言ってた、あの、教会の、あの、あの状態で、その、ある人、まあ、浮気の話がありました。そして、あの、まあ、浮気じゃない、あの、あなんていう、会員の話がありました。そして、あの、カウンセリングの時に、あの、これ考えてください。犠牲者の方は、あの、こう言われた。まあ、あの、相手はこんなことをやったけど、でも、あなたは、あの、愛しなかった。あなたは、全然、あの、ロマンティックにならなかった。あなたは、全然、あの、まあ、その、その人の気持ちに合わなかった。え?僕は何もしてないのに、あの、自分が何もしてない。自分がもう普通に結婚生活しようとしてるのに、相手が他の人と、あの、浮気をしてた。で、そんな慰めがあるはずですが、あの、そんなことはない。で、実際にそれがあります。それは実は、あの、悪い方の悔い改めを妨げました。なぜなら悪い方の人は、悪い側は、そうですね、僕は悪く扱われた、愛されなかったから、と言いました。全然言い訳にならない。だから、まあ、罪を犯すものです。僕も罪人、あの人も罪人。本当にその通りだ。だけど、それによって相手を許すことはできません。例えば、あの、イラクのクリスチャン。ね、あの、自分の町にみんな殺されている、あの、自分の子供は誘拐されたり、ああ、まあ、でもあなたは罪人でしょう、彼は罪人でしょう。そんなことを言う?でも人は言う。カウンセリングでもそんなことは、あの、言われています。それはもうとんでもないです。誰でも罪人だけど、私たちは、あの、あれと同じほど、悪いのか。そうではないでしょう。あの、誰でも基本的に罪人だけど、そんな理屈によって相手を、じゃあ許しますとは言えない。それよりもっと力強い、あの、ことがないとできません。あの、まあ、殺人、自分の子供が殺されたら、自分が他の人を一度も殺そうと思わなかったのに、まあ、その殺人と僕は同じような感じじゃ、そうではないでしょう。あの、だから、大変な罪があるときに、あの、じゃあみんな罪人というものは、 理屈にならない。だからそのような道来に頼ってはなりません。じゃあ OK Number three, the third one is this. People say, well, you're a sinner, I'm a sinner, they're a sinner, everyone's a sinner, so you know it's nothing compared to what you've done, you've probably done worse than that. That is not a basis for forgiveness. It may be true, but it may not be true, right? It may be true, it may be true. You know, like if someone stole from me, I could say, yeah, well, you know, there are times that I've stolen from people. That's true. But it doesn't really bring me much comfort when someone's just run off with my surfboard and I'm stuck, you know, at the beach with nowhere to go. Right? Oh, yeah, all right, but I've done the same thing to other people. I've never tried to steal someone's surfboard. What if it was something very serious, right? What if you're an Iraqi Christian and they've just murdered the people in your town and kidnapped your children and run off, or killed the children, and someone says to you, well, you're a sinner, they're a sinner, everyone's a sinner. Yeah, right. No way in the world you can use that as an excuse. Who's going to forgive for that reason? And yet, people actually expect people to get things right based on that. I know a case in a church that we went to occasionally and now became a Hillsong church, actually, in Australia, where there was a case of adultery. And I heard about one of the arguments that went on. And this is what they said. The victim was told that, well, you didn't love the person enough. You know, you weren't romantic enough, and that's, you know, that's part of the reason that this happened. What? You know, imagine that. Imagine you were just married. I mean, who's romantic enough? I don't know. Probably no one's got the perfect marriage. But you can't just turn around and say, well, therefore, you know, it's your fault as well. No way. And yet that's what people actually said. And that actually stopped the person who was in the wrong from repenting. Because the person who was in the wrong said, yeah, you know, because you didn't love me enough. And they tried to justify themselves. No, there can only be forgiveness when the evil is recognized as evil and there's no excuse to be sought. So you don't forgive someone because you pretend it didn't happen. You don't forgive someone because, well, maybe they had their reasons. You don't forgive someone because, well, I'm a sinner too, so I can't really say anything. That may be true, but it's not a basis for forgiveness. Okay, じゃあ we'll just go to the last one now. Okay. じゃあ最後に、最後に、まあ、その人がそれを二度としないようなことを約束したら、本当に悔い改めたら、本当に自分の悪いところを認めたなら許しますけど、でも自分の悪いところを認めてない、完全に認めてないから許せません。あ、そう、そうですか。そうか。じゃあ他の人は完全に自分の罪を認めない限り、あなたは許せないかということ。まあでも多くの人はそう考えている。まあ、他の人は謝ったら許せるけど、謝らなかったらどうやって許します。まあこのようにマタイ18章22節を見てください。マタイ18章22節。イエス様はこれを言いました。イエスは言われた。七度までなどと私は言いません。七度を七十倍するまでと言います。490倍。なんか、前漫画を見ました。誰かが、隣の人に殴りました。そして、その殴る人は、お前は、それは490番だよ。数えていると思わなかったでしょ。だから、490までは我慢したけど、491の時には殴り合いました。まあ、でも考えてください。もし相手が完全に自分も二度としないようにとか謝ったら、でも1日で490回誰かがあなたに罪を犯したなら、本当に真面目に二度としないように考えていると思う？全然？ 普通にまたするでしょ。今日は490回だったら明日は500回かもしれない、ね、全然相手の悔い改めはないでしょ。そんなに、ね、1分ぐらい1分ずつに罪を犯すなら、まあ、次にするでしょうだからこれはまあ、もしその相手が自分の悪いところを完全に認めるならという言い訳はならない。これは許しの土台となりません。ダビデとサウロの場合を考えてください。ダビデはサウロを許しました。その時にサウロはダビデの命を追いかけていた。ダビデ殺そうとしてた。そしてダビデはサウロに槍で殺すことができたのに、サウロを許しました。そしてサウロは本当に、ああ私は悪かったとか言いましたでしょう。第1サムエル27章21節、サウロは言った、私は罪を犯した、我が子ダビデ帰ってきなさい、私はもうお前に害を加えないそんなことあるでしょう、ね、ダビデはサウロを許しました。しかし26章21節だった。しかし27章1節、その後でダビデは心の中に言った、私はいつか今にサウルの手によって滅ぼされるだろう、ペリシテ人の地に逃れるより他に道はないと言いました。だからもうサウルは変わらないよと思いながら、サウルはなかなか変わらないなと思いながらサウルを許しました。だから相手の悔い改めは条件ではないです。相手の悔い改めは条件ではなりますではない。イエス様は490回、1日でも490回でも相手が罪を犯したら許しなければならないね。え、例えば毎回謝っても信じないでしょ。300回ぐらいやったらそしてダビデは完全にサウル神様にそのサウルの裁きを譲りました。まあいつかどこかによってサウルは倒れるでしょう。戦いによれば事故によれば神様は何とかサウルに対処するでしょうとダビデは考えました。はい、じゃあまとめると、誤った土台、立つことのできないような基礎を使ってはなりません。その基礎はまあ大丈夫、忘れてください、そんな大したことないから、それは嘘です。自分の苦しんでいる痛みは本当のことです。イエス様の痛みもそうだった。次まあ他の人の立場から見たらなんか理屈はわかるよ、それはなりません。なぜなら他の人の動機が完全に悪かった場合はよくありますそして自分も相手の動機分からへんし、神様しか分からないので、私たちはそんなことによって人を許すことはできない。次、まあその人は確か罪人だけど自分も罪人でしょ、だから一緒そうではない、そうではない。例えば僕は罪人であっても、こんなことを人に一度もやろうと思わなかった。そんな比べられないとか言うかもしれない、まあ大変な罪があるときにね、それは言えるでしょう。自分が罪人であってもね、そんなことをすると思わない、だから比べてはならない。うん、その通りだ。で4番目はまあ、他の人は完全に悔い改めたら絶対次にしないようにと約束したら、いやでもサウルはそうしなかった。でイエス様はその490回の話によって相手の動機はどうでも本当に変わるかは約束 保証できない。じゃあ私たちはどのような土台で人を許そうか。それは相手の悪を完全に認める。はい、その人はひどかった、ひどいことをした。はい、次、私は裁き主ではない、私は人を裁くことはできない。どんなに正しくてもそれは神様の裁きです。で、3番目はどうなっても結局、まあその人はどうしたか、それはいくら悪くても神様の計画でただその役をしました。まあイスカリオテユダもある、その役は最初から決まっていた。もしみんなは経験に神様に従っているなら、もっといい方法あったかもしれないけど、でもそうではないから、まあそれしかない。神様はそのように許しました。しかし神様の計画で最後は一番いい。あなたはそれによっていろんなことが分かります。そして人を祝福することができます。もっとうまく神様に従うことができる。もう最後は素晴らしい。私はそれを理解できなくても信じます。そして人生の中で多くの場合は、まあ、ちょっと後で振り返ってみれば、ああなるほどという時がある。だから絶対にそうなります。Alright, so the last one. The last one. Well, what if they promise never to do it again? I'll forgive them if they promise not to do it again. I'll forgive them if they apologize. Yeah, but what if they don't? Well, then you don't have to forgive them, right? What did Jesus say? He said in Matthew 18:22, I didn't say you forgive them 7 times a day. I said you forgive them 70 times 7. 70 times 7? Now, you think about that. I once saw a cartoon, and there was a guy, and he smashed the guy next to him. And the guy was standing there, and he said, yeah, that was the 490th time, and you didn't think I was counting, did you? So in other words, I did forgive you 490 times, but you went over it, so I can hit you in the face. Well, it's not like that. The idea is that if somebody had sinned against you 300 times in the day, you really think they're not going to do it again? If somebody has done the same thing to you 5 times, are you sure they're not going to do it again? Or you think they probably will do it again? What if they did it, 400 times in the one day? Of course they're going to do it again, right? You'd be an idiot not to think so. But still, you forgive them, right? Even if they apologize every time, but they just keep doing the same thing, you think, they're not going to change, they're just going to do the same thing again. That doesn't mean we can't forgive them. Doesn't mean we have to, treat them like they're going to not do it again. We can expect them to do it again, but we can still forgive them. So let's understand that. In 1 Samuel chapter 27, I want you to have a look at this. First of all, we'll look at 1 Samuel 26. Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 26. 1 Samuel 26, it says here, when Saul had been trying to kill David, he'd been chasing David and hunting him down, and David had a chance to kill him and he forgave him. Now, in verse 21, then Saul said, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will not harm you again, because my life is precious in your sight this day. Behold, I have played the fool and committed a serious error. Oh, such repentance. And David forgave him. But in chapter 27, verse 1, David said to himself, now, I will perish one day by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me than to escape into the land of the Philistines. So, in other words, David didn't believe Saul for one second that he was going to repent. He knew he wasn't going to repent. He said, maybe one day in a battle, or maybe he'll fall, somehow. He'll die at the hand of someone, but I'm not going to touch him. David did not need to believe that Saul would never do it again in order to forgive. He forgave knowing, in fact, that Saul would do it again. So forgiveness is not just If they promise not to do it again, if they apologize, nah. Forgiveness is, that sort of forgiveness doesn't work. Right? Because the fact is, they probably will do it again. And the fact is, they probably don't recognize how bad they were. They probably don't even understand it. You know it, because you felt the pain, but they don't understand it. They probably forgot it. That's not a good basis. So here again, let's look at the four foundations for forgiveness that don't work. Number one, pretend it didn't happen. No, that doesn't work, because it did happen. Jesus didn't die for nothing. The pain was real. Number two, we'll just see it from the other person's perspective. No, I'm sorry, that doesn't work either, because you don't know the other person's perspective. You don't know their heart. And what if they did it for the wrong reasons? Right? That kind of philosophical approach does nothing to ease the pain and bring comfort to the heart of somebody who's been hurt. Right? Just like Joseph couldn't have said, well, I must have been, you know, maybe they had a good reason for selling me. Maybe they needed the money. No, he couldn't have said that. The third one, you're a sinner, I'm a sinner, everyone's a sinner, you can't judge them. No, that's, you know, if when there's a crime happened, you can't say, well, the other person's a sinner too, so that justifies it. Or we can forget the whole thing because, you know, yeah, he stole your $100,000, but you stole the chocolate bar from a shop when you were young. Yeah, but the sin is not the same, right? When a person's crime comes up and there needs to be forgiveness, you can't just say, well, I have to forgive because I'm a sinner too. No, that's not why Jesus forgave. Because Jesus had no sin at all, and yet he forgave, right? Jesus had no sin, and yet he forgave. So you can't say that forgiveness is based on the fact that we're all sinners. Because Jesus is our example. Jesus was without sin, and yet he forgave. So it's not like that. And fourth, if they promise not to do it again, well, Jesus knew that they would do it again. Right? While they were still in their sin, Jesus died for them. David knew that Saul would do it again, and yet he spared his life and forgave him. Okay, and so you can forgive a person even if they don't promise never to do it again. Even if you're not a sinner. Even if there was no justification. Even if it's not a little thing, you can still forgive someone. Why? How do you forgive someone? You say, well, God works it out for good. And God knew that if we had all been good people and followed God perfectly, it wouldn't have happened. But in this fallen world, it doesn't work out like that. So God comes into this fallen world and he takes this piece of the chess and he takes this piece and he works out a perfect situation. And as much as we think it's painful or harmful or hurtful or whatever, at the end we'll see that there was a really good reason and God was teaching us something. And God's preparing us for something greater through all of these experiences. Okay? And therefore, we can say, okay, well, who am I to stand in God's way? Who am I to stand in God's way? Right? It's like you go to a movie and you think, why do I have to sit through the ads? Why do I have to sit through the commercials? Because they're paying for the movie. That's why. If it wasn't for them, you wouldn't have a movie, right? Well, that's the idea. So, it's the same thing, right? There's always a reason why unpleasant things happen. And fortunately for us, who love God and are called according to his purpose, that reason is God's great plan. So don't get upset. You can forgive a person, not because there's some philosophical reason, but just because God has commanded us to forgive. God has forgiven everyone, and he's allowed that person to do what he needed them to do in his plan. Just think of what Joseph said. You didn't send me here. God sent me here. You planned evil, but God planned it for good. Therefore, you're forgiven. No problem. じゃあ、あの、まあ、最後です。あの、神様は私たちに許す、相手を許すことを命じています。で、それは、あの、相手が誤っているからではない。イエス様はその罪人は罪人と分かりながら彼らのためにあの亡くなってくださいました。あの まあ私も罪人だから許せなければならない、そうではない、イエス様は罪人ではなかったのに許しました。だからあの罪人でなくても許すことができます。許せなければならない、相手の立場から見る、そうではない、それもあの慰めになりません。で最後にあの、まあ、忘れてください、 そのような理屈も通りません。結局この大事な真実はあの神様はそれを許しました。神様はその計画をうまく計りました。だからそれは神様の貴重な計画だったら、彼らそのイスカリオテユーデみたいな役が必要だ、後ではそれは何で必要か分かるようになると思います。今は分からなくても後では分かりますので、はい、ありがとうございます神様、こんなことでもあなたは私の益のために計らってくださいました、ありがとうございます。相手をそれで許します。はい、皆さんあの相手を許してください。もしかしたら自分の熱心に戻ることは相手を許せないことによって妨げられている。今でも今そうではなかったらきっとその時が来ると思います。OK 祈りましょう。天のお父様、ありがとうございます。あの許しは本当に難しいことですが、あのあなたの力によって相手を許すことができます。本当に最後に私たちは全てを理解するようになりますので、その時まであの許せるような信仰をください。あなたの力によって相手を完全に許すことができますように、あの助けてください。イエスの御名によって祈ります。アメン。